This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a little cool out.
I know.
Every morning, you know, I can really tell it's fall.
This is the best time of year, isn't it? You get that little chill in the morning, and then it warms up to a nice, comfortable, warm temperature in the afternoon, 70s, 80s even. That's fine. Low 80s, maybe. And then gets a little cool in the night. Oh, it's the best.
It's the best. After the hot summer, it is a reprieve, let's face it.
Yeah. And then in the fall, you start to smell like bonfires and things like that. People, you know, just hanging out in the evening when it's a little cool. You have like a little jacket on. You're sitting around a bonfire. You're just kind of hanging out, talking, maybe
now,
roasting marshmallows.
Where's this bonfire at? Tell me that bonfire. I want to hear about that.
It's not here because I'm not allowed to play with fire anymore, according to the judge. So it's other places.
Oh, okay. I just want to know where he's going to build your fire at.
Yeah, it won't be me.
I was going to take out a little extra insurance.
You should. Yeah. Yeah, just has no more fire after that incident, you know, a couple of years ago. So,
Yeah, I thought, you know, I better do something.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's a wonderful day.
It is.
And I love the temperature. Everybody's got jackets on in the morning, and then, you know, they're taking them off in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But we always have time for a Sonic run. Grandchildren love Sonic run after school. That's an important deal.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah.
And they have all those blasts, you know, they make all that with M&Ms. They make stuff that, you know, I never even heard of.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so delicious with the candy in it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine how much sugar these kids consume?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Just getting it all geared up for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, they're just getting ready. And, you know, the pumpkins, everybody's starting to show their pumpkins. The pumpkin patches are telling you what days they're open and, you know, what all they have for you there. And, these people spend all year growing these wonderful pumpkins. And, you know, there is three or four big pumpkin deals here that's all they do. Is all year they make those pumpkins, they grow them real good, then sell out.
Yeah.
And then they have a lot of special deals out there for kids, and they have the hay ride for them. So, you know, it's a special time of year.
It really is. You know, you start to smell like cinnamon. You know, go to the store and there's like displays with like cinnamon things. And then you see like the apple pies and the fall desserts start to come in. The fall, you know, colors, even with, you know, like decorate. They go to the store and they have like decorations and they have like Thanksgiving things. And you know, all these, there's something special about fall that you can't get these things at any time of year. And it's
well,
for all the
and
senses.
It's football season. You know, have you ever thought, I mean, they start now, the little kids in football. I mean, it's big in every school in America. I was just thinking about this yesterday. How much is spent on football?
Oh.
You know, it's $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the children go to private school, and they have to have everything. They have to have the sweaters that say the school name on it. You know, you've got to have the jackets that say the schools, because it's all about football. Everything, you know, even though it's a school, they're thinking football all the time.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it's America's sports.
Yes. Now, that's true. It's like that all over the place. But I'll tell you, there's something extra special about football in Texas. You don't get the same passion, maybe, about it as you do here in other places, you know?
And now they start the little girls out as cheerleaders in grade school. You get to be a cheerleader.
Really?
Yeah, things have changed a lot.
My goodness.
So they start you out learning to be a cheerleader, and then all the way up, you know, they've got cheerleaders for each deal of football on Friday nights. Friday nights in Texas is the biggest deal of all because you've got football all over the state, and it's big.
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's a way of life, you know.
It is. It's a way of life. Nobody does anything on Friday night except football somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And once you start getting ready, if you're like even a few weeks out and you know the season's fixing to start, you know, it's almost like, okay, now we're getting revved up. Now we're coming alive. Now, you know, it's like, yes, here we go. We've had, you know, too many months off, and now we're back into it again. It's a thing. It's really cool.
It is. And the fathers are just as into it as the children, let me tell you.
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah. they're really into it. So football, no telling what Texas spends on football. But I guarantee it's gigantic.
I have a feeling that's going to be a topic for trivia at some point.
That's right. It will be.
I see
it will
coming.
Be into that. Texas has special things going on all year. You know, you've got one season, another season. There's something happening at all times in Texas. I think that's why Texas is so successful, is because of all the things going on, you know. There's somewhere in some part of the state with something great happening all the time.
You know, I've never thought about that, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I think so. And it's just we have more pride, I think, than any other state. Everybody's so proud being a Texan and living in Texas. I think they go all out. You know?
Yeah, we totally do. It's not like any place else either. You can go visit other places and talk to people, and it's like, yeah, they got, you know, stuff going on. Sure, of course they do, but we've got a whole different level of excitement about it. You know, all year, like you say, there's different things going on. So it's one of those things that makes us special.
It does, and it's worth talking about.
It is, and it's worth celebrating too.
Yeah, it is worth celebrating. You know, it seems like in Texas, I don't know what the annual income to the state is, but I would say it's tremendous.
Yeah, I would say probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, the state has the numbers on that, you know, because everybody has to file other different taxes with the state. But I just wonder, you know, what it actually is.
We are our own thing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And speaking of money, how are we doing? Where are we with like investments, things, policies, new policies we're bidding on? What's happening? What's the latest?
Well, we've got two policies we're filling right now. Kurkuzinski, it's a hard name, but it's 18 months. It's a short deal.
Oh wow!
We're getting that filled. We've got four policies we're waiting on right now to get to the bank. Because we've had quite a few that we're waiting on, but we're waiting on four right now to get to the bank, and we'll notify everybody in the next couple of weeks as that money gets there. The Hedel policy got there yesterday, but the other three are not there yet. So I think in the next week or week and a half, those will probably hit the bank also.
Wow, that's a lot of money coming in.
Yes, it is a lot of money coming in, and people are reinvesting. Making that turn, getting back into policies, and a couple of these were early, so they were done in 19, and so they've already come to fruition. So they're already getting paid, so that's a good thing. And everything's just going along, like it should be for a change. it doesn't always go that way. Some days it does, some days it doesn't.
For a change. Wow.
Yeah.
What, and you may not have the numbers in front of you. How much is the 18-month? Because you don't usually do them that short.
Yes. A man actually has two. $500,000, we've already filled it, and he's got $1 million policy. We're filling that next.
So 1.5 between both of them?
Yes, uh-huh.
Really?
1.5. And as I said, it's a short term. It's 18 months. So we're going to try to get that filled this next week and get it out the door, get some interest coming in. And, that's the whole deal. Turning it, getting that interest, and getting ready for retirement. Or if you've already retired, we're just trying to get you interest coming in on your money.
And I might be drawing I might be putting things together that don't need to go together, but it seems like we don't talk very much about really large policies like that are that short. Usually it seems like they're 24, 30 months, something like that for the larger one. Is there any correlation between the two, or why is this?
No, it's just usually, most people, they've given them 18 months up, like 2 years, 2.5 years. But we've had three or four in the last month that were 18 months or less. We did one that was 12 months. So right now we've been able to get, some that are really short. And so we're getting people in those where we can get those turned around.
Is it just that maybe they've held on to their policy a little bit longer before deciding to sell it? Or is it worse than what they actually thought?
I think it moved faster than they thought. I think they thought they had more time. And now they're really fighting it, trying to do something right here at the last minute, to see what they can do.
Wow. All right. Because it just seems like, that's almost in really one of those ideal situations where you have a large policy that they've got an 18-month LE on it, and it seems like, my goodness, so this is fantastic. The return on that is going to probably be much quicker than usual on policies that large. I didn't know if there was something special about that, or just happened to be just the way it kind of worked out.
That's just kind of the way it worked out. But as I said, we've had several real short policies in the last month. And so we've been filling those. Then we've been trying to, get the death certificates on these others and get that money in for the other people where they can reinvest. So it's all going to, like it should be right now, as I said. Things are working out like they should be.
For once.
For once. And then I had a gentleman call this week from over in Big Spring, and he had a policy that went over, and he was questioning his premium. And, anytime anybody has a question on premium, they can always call me or call Joe or somebody at the office if they have a question. He had another policy that went over, and it was $19. So this one was $150, so he was actually, he thought they would always be $17. But they're not always the same. Every policy is different. And again, when we send out an invitation to go into a policy, we always tell you what the premium will be. So we don't ever want it to be a surprise. We want you to always know, what it's going to cost if it goes over. So that's part of what we're supposed to do, is to send you that information where you'll have it before you make a decision.
And that is part of the decision process. Even is early on in the process is when you're looking at the policies and you're saying, you know, hey, do we want to even bid on this? You're looking at those premiums because if they are too high and it doesn't become quite as profitable anymore, you're not even going to bid on it, right?
No, we're not going to bid on it. If we look at it and we see that it's over 3%, we're not going to do it. It's just hard to justify it if it's over 3%. We have had one that I thought was so good. I said, let's put our highest earners in it. And if they think it's okay, you know, we'll do it. And they actually did. But the rest of the time, we're not doing it because it needs to be, you know, 2%, 1.5%, 2.5%, which is nothing, you know. And always remember, I always figure it on 100,000. Because a lot of our clients, you know, they put 100,000 in on policies. So if it's just 2%, that's $2,000, which is not bad. And especially if it's somebody that's doing 50,000, so it's, you know, it's even less. So, and then when it's just 1%, that's nothing on 100,000. If you've got two people in it, that's $500.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
No, that's not hardly anything. So we always try to figure that, you know, what type of person we want to go in it, you know, what their risk is, and we want to lower that risk at all times. So that's why we try to not do a policy that has any premiums over 3%. We want to keep it way under that, and where that if it should go over, it will not hurt you, and that's, you know, that's part of what we do.
Yeah, you said something that kind of makes me think. I don't know that we've really gotten into it a whole lot, and there may not even be anything to get into. I'm not really sure, but it kind of sparks the question of, you know, you'd said that, you know, with this one that came in, you said, hey, let's get our highest earners in here, and this would be great for them. When policies come in and you're looking at them and you're saying, okay, we're looking at, you know, time, you know, how long is the policy? Is it 12 months? Is it, you know, 24? Is it 30? When you look at that, and you look at premiums and you look at, you know, how much the actual policy is, are there certain ones that are better for certain investors? So, like, I guess my question is when you have a policy, do you have like a certain profile of people that you say, hey, this would be good for this one. We're going to send them an email. We're going to invite them to be in this one. And then another one comes in and it would be better for a different type of investor.
That's exactly right. We have a lot of people that we say, okay, this is the type of policy they like. This is the amount of investment they like to do. Then we have some we say, okay, this person is only going to do 40,000 usually. And we want them in this type of policy with this type of premium. And then we have our really large clients. We know what they like. They don't want to do 50,000. They don't want to do 75. They want to do 100 to 120,000 when they do a policy. So the bigger clients view everything differently than the other clients. And I've got some clients that will only do a short-term policy. I have some clients that always want a different kind of cancer, you know. And so everybody has a different way of thinking about things.
Are there advantages to particular investors being more drawn to certain types of policies, or is it just personal preference?
I think it's personal preference. And we know them well enough to know what they prefer. And like we've got the ones that want pancreatic cancer. I mean, and they would love it if every one of them was pancreatic cancer. So would I. But they don't come by very often. Yeah. We don't get a chance at them very often. But we all know that, you know, it's deadly, and we've been very, very successful at it. So that's why they look at that. And then I've got a lot of men that they want the prostate cancer. So everybody has a different kind of cancer that they relate to. They've either had relatives who've died with it, and usually that's it. They say, you know, my mother died of this, or my father died of this, or an uncle. And when they say that, they know how that particular cancer, how it was driven, and how soon they passed away.
So it really has nothing to do with profitability of one you know, policy type versus another. It's really just about their own personal experience and what they've seen themselves.
That's right. It's their personal experience, what they've seen with relatives, how soon they passed away. And when it's like when we did Ginsburg the other day, I had one client said that his mother died of that type of brain cancer.
Really?
So naturally, he wanted to go in. He saw how fast it was. So, you know, lots of people have had relatives. You know, there's so many cancers right now. They've seen people who passed away, and they know how long it took. So that's the ones usually they're interested in.
When new investors come in and they've never really done a life settlement before, do they come in and they're like, hey, I want to be in these types of policies? Or do they just kind of like dip their toe in the water and just kind of see what they like and just kind of see what's out
there? Yes, I think they come in with an open mind. They say, okay, Faye, put me in some policies. Let's see what you can do. And so then we put them in policies as they mature. Then they know a little more about the business. They are learning all the time how it works, and you know, over a period of years, they've learned about investments. They've learned how it works as far as getting paid, how the money goes back in their account, and so they've got real experience. So when they look at a policy, they know more about it now. And then the people who haven't been in long, they're trusting our judgment to put them in the right policy.
And then usually, I would assume, based on stories that you've told, once they're in and they realize, oh, wait a minute, we just, you know, go into a policy, we essentially, quote, buy a policy from somebody who needs to sell it, and then we just wait. And then once they get paid and it goes in their account, I imagine probably many of them are like, hey, this is much easier and simpler than I really thought. It's much less complicated. And then they probably, I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, they're like, just put me in anything and everything.
That's right. And usually everybody's not real particular. They're more particular about the kind of cancer and how long it is, how long it's going to take them to get paid. That's usually it. You know, if it's 24, 30 months, you know, and they don't usually ask about the age of the people. I don't think that has anything whatsoever to do with it. And, of course, you know, we're watching the age at all times. You know, we don't want to do over 76. And, you know, we've had too much experience of that. So, you know, once you've got burned, you know you don't want to do an 80 or a 90-year-old. You know, you're not going to get in that position again. We still have three of those. So we're looking out for the clients. We're saying, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is the type of policy. And that's why we've tried to stick to what we know best.
This is more like a like a bookkeeping question. But it seems kind of interesting to me because we've opened up a door that I didn't really realize how, you know, customized you direct certain types of policies to certain investors. Do people have like categories? Do people, you know, hey, I'm a category four investor, and so I'm in this types of policy, or is it, do you pick them out like individually, person by person, name by name on every policy?
It's name by name. It's
wow.
All individual. Yes.
Wow.
No, we say, okay, this person would be good in this policy. This person, I don't think would be good for this policy, and we go from there.
You've got like what, 600 or 700 investors, I think.
Yes, we do.
How do you keep
but
up
we
with
know them.
Wow.
You know, after you've talked to them a long time, they come in the office all the time. You know, we know them. And we know what they like and what they don't. We know which ones say, keep this much money in my account. I've got several now that have retired, and they want this much cash in their account. And as long as we're investing up to that, they're fine.
Wow.
And then I've got one lady that each time she's getting on up in years now. She's been with us a long time. And she says each time, I'll wait till a policy matures and then I'll invest again. And that's the way she does it.
Just one at a time?
You know? One at a time. And the other day she had a maturity and we called her. Yep, go ahead and put me in another policy.
And it works.
And so she has a lot of cash built up and then she has a lot of policies. So she's keeping it, you know, this much cash on hand and then this much policies. So everybody does it different. Everybody has a different theory about their portfolio.
Wow. The fact that you know every single investor that well that says something. That's a really big deal.
Because and if they're married, sometimes it's different, you know. Married people talk it over, and they have certain policies they like. But if it's a single person, they invest differently than a married couple.
Really?
Yeah. And I've got a lot of people that they have his and her accounts, and then they have joint accounts. The people with joint accounts, I think they invest a little differently than the other.
Are they a little more aggressive when there's somebody else to share risk, but essentially, for lack of a better term, when they are sharing the risk with, like, their spouse, do they take a little bit more, or are they a little bit more conservative?
Well, I don't know. I never had thought about it that way, because most people, they know about what type of policy they're going to invest in. They know about what they want to do.
Interesting.
And a lot of them make a fast decision. And then I've got some people that haven't been with us that long, maybe 2 years, 3 years. They always think it over overnight. And most people don't. They'll, within 2 hours, they'll come back and tell me if they want to go in it. But I've got some married couples that actually wait till the next day. They'll say, let us think about it overnight. And they'll think about it, then give us the decision the next day.
Really?
Yeah.
So like,
everybody thinks different.
I would assume it sounds like they probably, you know, say, hey, we're going to go over the policy. We're going to look at it. They actually look at it, and then they actually discuss it. And then, you know, when you open the next day, they call you. They kind of sleep on it, I guess. I guess that's pretty smart. I mean,
they're just different, and everybody has a different way of thinking about it. And we don't know if they go and, you know, look anything up on the disease. We never know, you know, what all work they do at home before they make that decision. Then I've had some people on a policy that I thought was the best in the world, and they might turn it down. And then the next time they may say yes.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's you never know what people are thinking. You just have to go with them.
Well, you know, the great thing about life settlements is that they are so well-informed anyway. I mean, that's one of the things I think that many people are drawn to is the fact that, you know, hey, you've got all this information, you know, going in. And, you know, you can, you know, research things on the internet and you can find, you know, stuff like that out, you know, on your own. But you've got that whole report there. Do we still call it? We don't call it page 14 anymore, right?
Don't call it that anymore. But it's at the very back where it used to be, you know, on that page 14 in the contract that told them everything about the policy. It told them who the insured was, told them what life insurance carriers carry in the paper, what type of cancer on that page, what the face amount is, what their profit is, what percentage they're going to make. It tells if it goes over, you know, what it's going to cost them. And that's a really, really important page.
Yeah, I mean, that's when people are looking at this, just the fact that there is so much information. I don't know that there's a whole lot of other investment opportunities where you have that much available going in. It's just kind of like, hey, I think it's a gut feeling about this. And maybe a guy says, or the buzz on this is, you know, it's like, this is actually like hardcore facts based on, or backed up by, you know, medical information from doctors, professional people that analyze, you know, medical reports and things like that. I would imagine probably, you know, people take that pretty seriously. Because they have it there, it's a great tool. Use it. I would imagine probably a lot of them do.
Yes, I think so, because a lot of people read everything and a lot of people don't. And a lot of people, you know, research, and a lot of people don't. They just they read the report from the doctor. They know that's the best report that we can get about, you know, they've scanned maybe 800 pages before we get that condensed report. And they've looked at, you know, how many times they were at the clinics, how many times they've been at the hospital, what drugs they're on, everything they can do, and condense it down for us to read.
That's amazing. Because you said that you go through like 750 pages of material.
On Ginsburg,
right?
I read the whole thing. 750 pages.
That's a lot of stuff.
It was. And lots of times I take the reports just like the client does. But if there's any question about it, we will order the full report and have it sent over. And I've done that on several. If I've had questions on it, in fact, one of the providers we work with, they have in-house medical teams. And if I question something, they'll say, well, we'll send all those pages over for you to read. And this one, there was a report I had not read from MD Anderson. And the doctor had written a letter about how soon he thought the man was going to die, and I needed that because I was getting discouraged on the other reports, and the doctor had a letter in there summing it up, and it was a good letter saying that this guy was on not going to make it and how many months that the doctor actually gave him, and so we needed that letter.
And that's what, I guess, pushed you over the edge?
Yeah, it pushed me to the side to say yes.
Wow. Interesting. So with all the information that you've got right off the bat, with all the information that investors have right off the bat, there's actually a bank of more data if you need to get more more granular, get more.
Yes, if there's any questions, we can just order all the medical records, and they will send them over.
Wow.
But, yes. The people that we do business with, they get the medical records first. And so if I've got any serious questions, I can go to them. Or like, let's say it's 21st Services that sends a report. I can pick up the phone, also call them, and ask to speak to the medical director.
Like personally?
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I don't know that I knew that.
That a couple times, went direct. And the other times I've called like the provider that's bringing us this policy and said, you know, I have questions about it, I have concerns, and they have their medical people there, and they'll say, they'll discuss it with me, or they'll say, we'll send you over this additional information to back up what we've already told you.
Wow.
And lots of times they'll send a note and say, we think this person is very, very ill.
Really? So they'll just kind of like sum it up and say, look, you know, the data is here in all the charts. The stuff is there, but it may be more serious than what the charts actually look like. I assume
that's... sometimes it's a lot more serious than what they're showing. And so they know it because they've got the backup data to support it.
Wow. I didn't know they did that.
Yes. And especially this one that we bought lots and lots of policies from. We've been doing business with about 6 years. And so their in-house people have already looked at and studied it before they presented it to us.
Wow.
So then we can go back to them at any time and say, you know, we've got concerns about this. There's something we're not getting. They'll either send over additional pages or send a memo and say, this is what it's based on.
Huh. Interesting.
So we can get additional if we need it.
It's just kind of fascinating that there's so much data and there's so much analysis that goes into each policy before you know you even get it, and then once you know investors you know decide, hey, I want in or I want out, they have a lot of data at their fingertips too. It's fantastic. It seems like a rare opportunity that you don't get with a lot of other investment types.
Well, I think so. To me, it's the best of all worlds. You know, it's a fixed rate of interest. You know what you're going to make up front. You know if it's 20%, 24%, 28 or if it's 18. You know this going in, and that helps a lot. You know what you're going to make. You know it can't go down in value. That's a biggie. You know, the stock market is up and it's down. You know, the other day it lost several hundred points in one morning.
Yeah.
So, you know that it's not going to lose money. It's not going to go down. You know that it's a fixed rate. And I think that's a more conservative approach. Having a fixed rate interest rate, I think, is a great way to go.
Is that the greatest asset? Of all those things, what's the greatest asset about a life settlement? What's the best part about it?
Well, I love the interest rates. I think that's one of the greatest things, what you're going to make. But the other thing is knowing that it can't go down, and whatever your contract says, that's what you're going to get.
It's just really a matter of waiting.
Yeah, and it's a conservative approach. It's not in this, we're going to make you $1 million or, we've got this new high-flying deal that's going to work. It's just a solid life insurance policy that people have cancer, have a disease. It's stage 4. We know that. And, we know that we're going to get paid. That's what I love. I don't like, as I haven't been in the stock market for years. And I like being conservative. I like knowing how the money's going to come in. And I think anybody that's retired is going to want to be this conservative, and it works. And we know it works because we've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we've told some stories before that you've, talked to people who have, they've had to go back to work, in their 70s because something happened if they were in the stock market and, the bottom fell out something of that happened.
And they never recovered.
We
had several people that never recovered from 2010.
Yeah.
A lot of people took 5 years, and then other people, just a few of them just never recovered. The loss was too great. They just, when you're in the stock market and something catastrophic like that happens, it's hard to recover. You've got to wait and wait, and then we had this pandemic. A lot of companies have went out of business, and restaurants are still falling. Mm. I thought maybe the fallout was over on the restaurants. It's still not. There's still restaurants closing their doors.
Really?
There's still businesses that just couldn't make it through this, like gyms and things. A lot of them have went out because they require, masks even when you're exercising, and that's a tough deal.
Yeah.
I just know a lot of businesses that are just not here anymore. And I'm shocked at, how many did not make it. But in Texas, I think more survived than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then the huge companies, the chains, a lot of them, closed 100 locations or something like that during that. And then Penny's, Neiman's, all these others, they were huge public companies, and they have reopened and redone everything. But I've noticed that Neiman's is not carrying all the things they used to carry.
Really?
No, they're not. And one of the brands that I know so well out of New York, they have very little of it now. And then Belk, which is one of my favorites, they lost Lancome. You lose Lancome and you've lost a lot. That is a big seller in the cosmetic world. For a retailer not to have that, that's a big deal. And I think a lot of people just aren't shipping to these companies because of their situation. They want to be sure they're going to get paid. And when they file bankruptcy, they don't have to repay them right then. They can restructure it, say, we'll give you this much, but what do you do about the other money,
Yeah, you only get pennies on the dollar at that point.
That's right. So a lot of people... that it's just not the same. And then we have a lot of small companies that made it all the way through, just, kept going.
Had no trouble or anything like that.
Yeah, they just, I guess they had enough savings, enough cash on hand, and they were small enough, that they could make it work.
Yeah, we found out. I remember, like, it was a couple of months ago, I think, we were talking about, I think it was, I don't remember who it was, Brooks Brothers, maybe, and probably a couple others. We had thought that, you know, they probably had some tremendous reserves and they were going to be just fine. Been around for a century. You know, I remember talking about a couple of places like this, and then all of a sudden they were, like, filing bankruptcy and closing their doors, and apparently they didn't have the reserves that we assumed that they probably had. So
yeah, we thought all those companies had lots and lots of cash.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't have the cash we thought they had, did they?
No. That was a surprise.
And I think a lot of them, the CEOs was taking so much money out that it was tremendous, you know, what they had taken out.
Yeah, yeah.
They took out so much. If they hadn't been taking so much out, I don't believe right there at the last they might could have survived. But I know the CEO of Neiman's was really, really chastised. He took these huge bonuses out before the bankruptcy. You know, paid himself.
Yeah. And then kind of left everybody else holding the bag.
Yes. Wow. And then we had the crooks during that time. This one company I read on the internet about, this guy that worked for them, bankrupted him. They had no idea. He was on the credit cards. He was doing refunds for cash.
Wow.
And 198 transactions he did on them.
Oh, wow.
And they had to close their doors because of a crook.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know? Man.
I mean, people are not watching the people in charge. And the other one, they still survived. And the shoe company up in Massachusetts, they've been there over 100 years. And their shoes for men cost like $120 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading about them. And this guy stole $37 million. Over a four-year period.
Over 4 years?
$37 million.
Wow.
He's paid back $4
million.
And they didn't go under.
Wow.
Now that's when you're wealthy.
Yeah. That's
really wealthy.
If you can survive a hit like that, man, that's...
Yeah. And he had met a girl, and she wanted to be in the movies. He was going to create a movie company for her, and he didn't have the money. So he started taking money out. And finally, he even went to their line of credit and assessed their line of credit at the bank.
Wow.
And nobody caught it. No one soul caught it. I mean, oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, $37 million.
God, in 4 years.
In 4 years, and they were so rich that it didn't break them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That speaks volumes.
Anyway,
wow.
It does. I mean, you got to watch these things.
Yeah, really. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And we got all caught up in all that. Now we're a little bit late for trivia, but what is our topic this morning?
Well, we'll do quick trivia. The State Fair of Texas is open.
Yes!
It's fair time in Texas.
Thank goodness.
When it gets cool, it's time for the fair.
Yeah.
And it started Friday. It's going to run 24 days.
Yay!
It's the best thing we've got in Texas. It's bigger. It's better than anywhere. It's the best fair there is.
Yeah.
And, you know, opening day, you know, they always have the parade. It used to be through downtown Dallas, and now they've moved that over to Fair Park. But they also have a nightly parade called Starlight Parade. The football, Texas OU weekend. This is Texas OU weekend. This is big, big in Texas, as you know. Everything is sold out for 100 miles around.
Yes. Yes.
Every year it's that way. You can't get a room anywhere. Reservations in Dallas are out. Remember last year we didn't have a state fair because of the pandemic.
I know it. I remember that. It was such a
bummer. We couldn't even do it. They say it brings in $50 million to this area.
Wow.
$50 million
this year,
that
maybe
24
more.
Days.
I'm sure probably people are going through withdrawal from last year, and so we're going to make up for it this year.
Oh, I think so. I think it'll be tremendous because there's only been three times in history it's closed. World War One, World War Two, and 2020.
Wow.
It's only three times it's ever been closed. The rest of the time, you know, it's been there. Now, it's the only fair that has a full auto show. You know, the auto show here dates back to 1913.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've always had the Texas Museum there, the Automotive Museum, and it's moved out for some reason. I don't know why the museum would move out of there because it was so great there. I loved it. But, you know, this all the things they've, you know, they have new foods every year. But if you think back, we've had the deep-fried Oreos, mm-hmm. deep-fried Twinkies, deep-fried s'mores, deep-fried pork ribs, fried cheesecake, deep-fried butter. I remember that one. Fried alligator. We've had deep-fried peanut butter and jelly and banana sandwiches.
Yes. Delicious.
So we've had all of this. And, of course, this year we're going to have a lot of new things also. But don't forget Big Tex. You know, now Big Tex this year said he will not wear a mask.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't going to do it.
I don't know how they'd make one big enough.
I think that's it. I think you can get one big enough. Remember, Big Tex is 55 feet tall.
It's amazing. It's huge.
And as you know, in 1953 was when they fixed his jaw where he could speak.
Yeah.
And remember in 2012, they had a fire that destroyed him, and they had to rebuild him and redo him. But he's the world's tallest cowboy.
And he wears like a size million pants.
Oh, yeah, the pants are so big. And that company that makes them, you know, I just can't imagine what it takes to make the pants for Big Tex.
I couldn't even.
But he's out there waving and talking. It's a great deal. He made his first appearance, as you know, in 1952.
52?
And in 1952. And our first Cotton Bowl Classic goes back to 1937.
Really?
Yeah. And the Dallas Cowboys played there in 1960.
Huh. I'll be. Yeah. I guess I didn't realize it went that far back.
Yeah, it goes back a long way. And if, I don't know, but in 2017, Charlie Daniels performed there and played his favorite song that was so famous, The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and last year the cancellation was the first time in 76 years.
I know it. I remember we talked about that, and it was such a bummer because it's like we've never seen that before. That just doesn't happen.
You know? That's right. And some new facts this year that I did not know. You know, several years ago, a lawyer sued the state fair. He wanted an audit of everything. Well, you know, that caused a lot of controversy, and it cost the state fair $3 million. Aww. They had to pay that old lawyer. And everybody was, you know, pretty shocked about it. But the president of the state fair makes $641,000.
Really?
A year.
Wow.
Yeah. The CFO makes $326,000. The person who's in charge of livestock for that 24 days makes $226,000.
So we're at almost $1 million just in those salaries right there.
Oh, that's not all.
Oh.
The guy in charge of concessions makes $250,000.
Oh.
Marketing makes $232,000.
Oh.
It keeps going. Let me go down here. And there's only two people that are poor on there. The exhibitor, he makes $125,000.
Oh,
the director of development, he just gets $116,000.
Well.
But the former president, this is funny, former president took hardly no money at all, which is amazing. He took $42,000.
Really?
Yeah, that's all he was taking. He was dedicated. A lot of the people over the years have really, really been dedicated because they love the city of Dallas. They love what it does for our economy, for the children, for the families. And, you know, when they started, that's what it was all about. And, you know, finally they had to give it to the city because it was just too costly to run. But it was amazing to me to see what the salaries were. Now, let me give you real quickly, since we're running late, what the new foods are.
Okay, good.
Bacon jam corn pone.
Really?
Bacon jam corn pone. It's warm bacon with jam is ladled over crispy corn hush puppies.
Oh, my goodness.
Then a drizzle of ranch dressing topped with homemade candied jalapenos.
You got to be kidding me. Who even thinks of stuff like that?
I mean, they think all this up. If it works, it'll get on the list. If it doesn't, it won't be back.
Yeah.
But there's so many great things. They have a bucket of fries, and these are cheese fries with beef and bacon in them.
Oh, my God. That sounds like the best thing ever.
Then they've got the big Tex bowl. It's mac and cheese covered with everything. It's got three cheese sauce. It's got noodles. It's topped with smoked brisket, sharp cheese, fried onions, chives, applewood smoked bacon, candied jalapenos, and a barbecued cream sauce.
I'm sorry, I was wrong before. That sounds like the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, then they've got chicken on a stick.
Oh, yes.
And this is number four. It's got vegetable rice with lo mein. It's got pork egg roll, grilled chicken on a stick, and then they glazed it with homemade teriyaki sauce.
Oh,
yeah. And then we've got country fried shrimp grits.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't understand grits, but it's got shrimp, cheese. It's dipped in light egg wash, covered with homemade batter, deep fried. And then it's covered with mouthwash and shrimp and catfish sauce.
Yum.
And then they've got the Texas hot bird dog. And it says the Texas heat cannot compete with it. This thing has got hearty, cheesy, packed with heat. It's a smoked turkey frank. It's dunked in fiery seasoned batter, deep fried, smothered with rich and creamy mac and cheese.
Oh.
Then they take fried jalapenos and dribble that with chipotle sauce on top.
Oh, my goodness.
Then the last one that I'm going to give you is deep fried pancakes.
Yes.
They're bite size. Let's see. They've got one of a kind homemade syrup, maple butter, fresh blueberry sauce, pecan butter sauce on it. Now, that's enough to kill you right there with that many dadgum sauces on it. But, you know, the state fair is one of a kind. Everybody needs to make a date, come to the fair, bring the family, enjoy the day, spend the weekend if you can, and shop till you drop, and eat all you can at the fair, and you'll remember it forever.
You know, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about all the great things about fall. The fair has got to be at the top of the list, and I know how you know that I love all the food at the fair. And every time there's a new fair and there's the new foods and they try them out, that's one of the most exciting things about the whole year is all the new foods. And it sounds like this year's just a home run all the way.
It is. And remember the dog show, the car show. The dog show is one of my favorites. The car show I would never miss. And then, for those who can take it, if your stomach can take it, all the rides.
the fries and the deep-fried pancakes, I don't know if I'm going to be riding rides at that point.
I know. A person might just leave the rides alone.
I need to lay down.
But it's fun just to walk along the midway, see the sights. You know, we've got the dark train that comes right down there now. If you don't want to drive down there, we've always driven down and parked. You know, you can park in people's yards. You know that.
Yeah.
And we've always been able to get a pretty good close parking spot. So it's a wonderful time. It's just part of the fall season in Texas. I encourage everybody this year, don't miss the fair. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and after having no fair last year, this one's going to be even better.
It will be even bigger and better. And everybody that's got their tickets to Texas OU, they'll be in the stands. That's a big thing on Saturday. You know, this afternoon is just a big day in Texas.
It really is. My goodness, man. And it sounds like the food this year, there's I can't get the deep-fried pancakes off my mind.
Yeah, I mean, deep-fried pancakes. And I didn't even give you the whole list. There's four other things. I didn't want to take the time this morning. But everybody go and check them out. You'll see what all the new stuff is, and it'll be a first time.
This might be the first time ever that trivia has to go over like a 2 week period just to get it all in. Man, this is a big deal. I'm so glad that you ran down the list. That's fantastic. Really cool stuff this year. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Anytime that people invest in anything, there's always risks involved. And I know that, you know, people don't necessarily have to worry about the same things as when they're in the stock market when they're doing a live settlement. They don't have to worry about getting up in the middle of the night, checking their portfolio, see if they've got anything left. Those things are just not there. There are three big risks, though, and I really shouldn't say big because, relatively speaking, they're kind of small. So one, you have to be accredited to do a live settlement. So what does that mean? And then what is the first biggest risk?
You must be accredited. That means you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. You can, if you have a ranch, the ranch acreage counts, your horses, cattle, things that are worth money. That's how you figure it. If you have a 401k, if you have an IRA, if you have CDs at the bank, all these things, you add up and see what you're worth. And that's the way it works.
And what's the biggest risk?
If it goes over, if you have a policy and it should go over, you will have to pay premiums. Usually they're not big premiums, but you have to be aware that it could cost you money and you wouldn't get paid on time. You getting paid would be delayed. So that's a risk. And then the other thing is, it's not liquid as long as it's in a policy. Remember that. It is not liquid because you have invested the money. So if you needed to take it out in the middle of a policy, you could not, because you've already put that money up and we've given it to that person to buy their policy. So that would be a risk if you didn't have any money. But our people are all accredited, so they're supposed to have extra money. They're supposed to have money in other accounts, which they all do. So they're not broke, so that would not happen. Yeah. Then the other thing is, if a life insurance company ever went broke, it would delay your payment. You would still get paid, but it might delay it. So we've not had an insurance company go broke for a number of years, and now if anyone gets in trouble, they simply sell it to another company because the premium income is so great. Premium income is everything to these life insurance companies. And several of them have merged lately, been selling out to other companies, and it's just that time of year, you know, when people are doing mergers and acquisitions.
Well, get them done before we get into first quarter of next year. Wrap it up while
they
can.
That's exactly right. Yes.
What about appointments for this coming week? You've got availability, I assume. You usually do.
Yes, we do. We did a lot of annuities this week with people. We had people coming in that 401ks, they wanted to take that out, put it in annuities, and we've done that for them, create an IRA for them there. So, you know, we can do either one. If they don't qualify for this program, you can do annuities. They work very well. They're very conservative. They're the most conservative thing, I think, in America is an annuity. So they can do either one. Whatever they need to see us about, they can come and talk to us, see what their situation is, see how much money they need to make, if they're ready to retire, or if it's 5 years away, 10 years. You know, they need to be talking about it now. You don't want to wait till the last second.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I'm glad you kind of brought that up real quick because, you know, a lot of people, we spend a lot of time talking about life settlements, and they're very popular. People love them. But for some people who aren't accredited, or even if they are, they just want, you know, to, you know, diversify investment types. There are other options as well. You can talk about all of that when people come in. Just find out where they are, where they're headed, you know, what their timeline is, what their situation is. And you can really kind of just put together a plan for whatever they want to accomplish.
That's right.
The first step, though, is to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of good information. It tells you what past people have made, what the return is. It's got a lot of information. Go to our website and check us out.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.